We want to go ahead and just turn into the time of the Word. I do want to welcome all of our guests. You know, it's wonderful to have you. It's great that you could be here over the holidays and Christmas, and we get to just spend time together with family. I know everybody's had some good family time. Hopefully, you've all been able to talk to people or see people. Even when it was online, I know for us, you know, we got to see some family in North Carolina. That was good. And then we got to see family on, like, Skype or, you know, over the phone, because some of our family obviously is in Brazil, and they were having their celebration there, which was great and wonderful. They were spending time at the beach. And we're like, okay, we're here, and beach is not even a good idea. So it's a different world and a different sphere, but they were celebrating God and having gift giving, and that was wonderful as well, as we got to share a little bit into that. But I hope that you guys had a wonderful Christmas. Everybody was celebrating in their own way with family or friends or however you were. Maybe you got some really good gifts. Okay, did anybody get a good gift? I was like, hey, I really got a good gift this Christmas. One person, okay. All right, well, that's, okay. So I'm sorry, I'm just gonna apologize. You guys didn't get any good gifts. Well, maybe you got the gift you wanted. Maybe you didn't get the gift you wanted. Maybe you gave some really good gifts, right? Maybe that was more exciting, that you gave really good gifts. And that was more exciting than receiving gifts. And maybe even you weren't sure with some of the gifts if they were really appreciated or not, or maybe you just weren't sure if you got it right. You don't know if they're going to be returned to the store, or they possibly might get re-gifted to somebody else, right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever re-gifted the gift, the sweater you didn't like, or whatever that was? Yeah, I think we've all done that. But that's okay, right? You know, we find a place for it, a home for it, and it's going to be welcomed. Whatever the gifts were, right? Whatever the gifts were, as you were giving them and receiving them, the most likely you opened all your gifts, right? Everybody opened their gifts. The tree sits empty, right? And so that's true, because all the gifts that were given with family and friends, that's over, right? But sometimes, I want to talk about some gifts that sometimes go unopened, right? They're actually left under the tree, the ones we don't recognize, the ones we don't see, the ones we don't think about, because sometimes with all the other gift-giving and everything that we're doing, there's gifts that kind of get put to the wayside. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these gifts. There's some gifts still left to open up under the tree. There are gifts from the past that need revisiting, and there's new gifts that need to be open. Now, these gifts are not gifts from your friends. They're not gifts from your families. These are actually gifts from God. God has given you gifts. I think we could all recognize that God has given each one of us gifts. There's not anybody in here that God has not given you a gift. Multiple gifts, even. God is an awesome gift giver. But we don't always recognize. We don't always recognize or realize some of the gifts that God has put into our lives. They're different from what the world gives. They're different. And we can sometimes miss the significance of these gifts. And sometimes we just don't recognize that God is actually trying to work in us some very special things. And He does need our cooperation in the working of these giftings. So, we can miss these gifts. I want to talk about them because I don't want to talk about just spiritual gifts as we think about sometimes what God gives, because I want to open up the door a little bit wider than that this morning. Now, James 1, 6 through 7 is a good place to start. It says, but he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. Okay, hold on. I think we have the wrong one there. Let me read this. For some reason, I put in the wrong thing. Let me read this. Okay. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. For every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is a giver of good gifts. And he actually loves to give gifts, right? I think Santa Claus is a perversion of what God truly is. But one thing we can say is God loves to give gifts. And you also may be a good giver, but think on this. God's way better. Like, you may know how to hit the right buttons with people and give them good gifts, but God knows what the good gifts are, and he knows how to bless us. It just outweighs our ability to give. Matthew 7:11 says this. It says, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts, which is saying that you do. You do know how to give good gifts. But if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So there is something about gifts. It's very appropriate to ask God for gifts. It's very appropriate. Sometimes we think, oh, we shouldn't ask. Oh, you know, but we should ask. There are gifts and things, blessings that God wants to give us. And he says, ask. Ask me. He, and knowing that he desires to give you good things. So we should expect that God's gifts are good. The first gift God gives us, and it's such a precious thing for each one of us, is the Holy Spirit. He says it. He says, when Jesus left this earth, he says, I am giving you a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's very my very presence with you. And God calls us to cherish the Holy Spirit and to host the Holy Spirit of God in us. We're called to have communion with the Spirit. It's a gift. Think about this. And this is why I want to just revive us today in our mindset of saying, wait a minute, what do we have from God? What do we really have from God? The first and foremost, we have the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing and amazing thing it is. And I want to bring it up because, so honestly, we can easily take it for granted that you and I every day have communion with God. He lives within you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it amazing? And sometimes we'll just think of it as a theological fact, but we need to think of it as a practical reality. That God resides in me, his Spirit, and he invites us to communion, daily communion. And we start to miss that. We start to miss the very gift that God has given to us. It's a gift to hear the voice of God, God speaking to you. It's the gift of feeling his presence with you. It's a gift to be taught by the Holy Spirit, for him to give you knowledge that you do not have, to open up the word to you, to give you revelation, to apply things to your life that you're like, I don't know how, but God does, and he speaks and teaches, and he leads us by the Spirit. So God calls us to know him better, and in knowing him better draws us to closer fellowship with him. And when we walk in step with the Spirit, we are blessed. And that's how we're to live. He says, live by the Spirit. That's a daily thing. That's a daily thing. That's yours. It is yours. Each of us has this. We're to live by the Spirit. So how valuable do you consider it to be? How valuable do you consider it to be to hear God's voice and to know his direction in your life, to know his presence? So this is a gift to us. And it's a gift that needs constant utilization in our lives. You know what? People who hear God's voice practice listening to God's voice. So this is this constant usage, and it's the relationship that we enter into with God that we become more aware of his presence, become more aware of his voice. How important this is to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit needs to be part of our everyday life. And I say this because sometimes we lose touch. We lose touch and we get busy. And life throws a lot of things at us. And we got to solve problems and fix things. And we try to get to make things happen. And we got all these duties and activities to be involved with. And they're not necessarily bad things. In fact, there are a lot of good things. But I need Holy Spirit in all of it. I need. Like I was talking, I just felt led to talk about the resting place earlier, just in prayer. I just felt like God said, there's a resting place for us to be filled, to find our true north. It's like a compass that God guides us with by the Spirit. And sometimes if we don't find that resting place and we're just so overwhelmed by the world around us, we can lose even the sense of God's presence with us. And then we're sometimes discombobulated within. And God says, no, come in my presence. Come and know me. Know the Spirit of God in you. Find rest for your soul, your weary soul. And then that helps you really put everything in order in its proper place, as it should be. So what a gift it is to have the Holy Spirit living within us. But we don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't sit it on the side to gather dust. We need to have this ongoing relationship. One thing that the Holy Spirit gives us, and I think it's something that we've all experienced. I think if you know the Lord, you have experienced this, simply put, is joy. You know the joy. Being in God's presence brings joy. You can have a very down day. You can have a hard week. You can be going through some tough times. And yet, in His presence, there is joy. There's that light that lights in our soul. That's the warmth of a fire that makes the coldness go away. It's amazing what just being in God's presence brings, the gift of joy. And with joy, also, there's peace. There's the presence of God. There is wisdom. Wisdom. It's amazing what God gives us by His Spirit. The very nature of God becomes more of our nature as we fellowship with Him. It's the blessing of knowing Him. It's a gift that builds righteous character in us, and it's a work of God that benefits others through us. As God is working in your life, He creates this blessing, this abundance in you that flows out of you to bless those around you. So, yes, the gift of God, as we'd say this morning, and you know, the gifts of God are not for you. They are for you. The blessings of God are for you, and they're for others. They're to be shared. It's important that we value God, we value His Spirit, we value His presence, and that causes us to seek Him, to seek Him and find Him, and God loves to be sought after. He seeks us, but He loves us to seek Him and to find Him and to know Him, to connect with Him, to treasure Him. And when we do, there's such treasures for our soul. Intimacy with God sparks the very love of God in us. You ever had that situation where you felt like you couldn't love somebody? And you really felt like this person was really hard to love. Like they were just a difficult individual at work or in the maybe the family or just somebody that just gives you a hard time. And then God, in His presence and in your prayer, you were able to do something that you weren't able to do in your own flesh. You're able to pray for somebody and really mean it. You're able to pray for them and even ask God to bless them. And as you were praying for them, and maybe it didn't happen the first time, or maybe it didn't happen the second time, but as you pray for them, you commit to pray for their good, and you commit to pray for God's work in their lives. Isn't it amazing how something in you begins to change? That you could actually go from really not liking, even maybe hating somebody, to actually loving them? Where did that come from? Did that come from your natural flesh? No, it didn't. It didn't come from your natural flesh. It came as a gift of God, that He actually helped you. But in your commitment, you said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. Your word says, bless your enemies, you know? Bless those who even speak terrible things about you. I'm going to do that, Lord. And in that obedience, God meets you and says, I'm going to work in that. And I'm going to turn your heart and change your heart towards them. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. There's so many blessings that God gives us in fellowship with Him, in connection with Him. There's so many blessings. And too often we will miss these blessings when we neglect our fellowship with Him. They're blessings that are sitting under the tree that we're not even gathering to ourselves because we're not fellowshipping with Him. We're neglecting those things. Now, God gives us gifts. And it's important that we're to engage the very gifts that God has given us. God gives us specific gifts that are to bless others. Each one of us has gifts that are meant to bless others. Spiritual gifts are like this, okay? I'm not talking about just spiritual gifts this morning. I'm not teaching on spiritual gifts, but spiritual gifts are like this. They're given to you for the purpose of blessing others, for the purpose of building up the church and sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God with others. And the scriptures tells us there's different gifts. There's different ministries. There's different activities of God and works of God to be accomplished in the body of Christ. And each one carries out, or is to carry out, the use of their gift. Which means we have to apply the very gifts that God gives us. And when we receive them, we need to think of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks of this. It says, now there are different gifts. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. So God wants you to bless somebody. He wants you to be someone who gives. And out of your giving, you're increasing others. You're blessing others. You're doing for others. You're serving others. Which means you have to apply your gift. It means you have to use your gift. It means you have to grow in your gift because, like anything, a gift needs to be utilized. It needs to be developed. It needs to grow. You may be a good teacher, but you're called to become a better teacher, a more excellent teacher. You may be good at serving in some way. You may be good at organizing. You may be good at leading. But the Lord says you need to develop that and become excellent in that and use it to bless others. God says that we should desire the gifts of God and that we're to eagerly use them with the knowledge that I will receive the joy in using them, but they are for others. They are to build others up. Now, the Bible is clear that motivation of the usage of our gifts, it matters. It really matters. You know, there's an example in Scripture from Simon the sorcerer. He wanted the gift. He desired the gifts. He did desire the gifts, but the motivation did matter. I just want to quickly look at his life because he wanted to pay for the gifts of God. He valued them. Now, understand, he valued them, and we are to value them, but he valued them in a different way. And in fact, a perverted way. And Acts 8, 9 through 11 speaks of him. He says, a man named Simon, maybe we'll put that up there, at Acts, yeah. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. Now, he was a magician. He was a sorcerer. So, obviously, he was not in the kingdom of God. He was in the kingdom of darkness. Yet, he converted to Christianity under the ministry of Philip. Philip went throughout Samaria preaching the gospel, doing miracles, and he converted, as many did. And he was just learning about Jesus, just learning about God. But he saw the miracles being done. And then, when Peter and John hear about the evangelistic work that's happening in Samaria, they come to lay on of hands so that people would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit in them. And so they were. So Peter came to lay on of hands. And so what did Simon want? He wanted these gifts. But there was really no cost to these gifts, but he was wanting to buy the gifts. Why would you buy the gifts when they come at no cost? But he was wanting to utilize them for a selfish nature. His heart was still operating in his old nature and what he wanted the gifts of God for. So he wanted the ability to impart the Spirit of God to continue to bring glory to his name, not God's name. So the motivation matters. Verses 19 to 23, when Simon interacts with Peter. Go down to 19. Great. It says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when his apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. He said, let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay hands on people, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter replied, and Peter saw something in him. He said, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you your evil thoughts, for I can see that you're full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. So what is he jealous of? He's jealous that Peter and John are coming and God is working miracles. And he'd been the big guy. He had been the person who had all the fame of that region as a great sorcerer. In fact, he said he had this power of God. And now it was being diminished. So he said, I want that too, so that I can continue being glorious. I can continue being the one who has the power of God. That's not a healthy place. That's not a good place. So motivation matters. God's gifts come at no cost. But our heart receiving them and how we receive them is so important. We receive with humility and we give thanks to God. We give praise to him and we always give praise to him because this is an example of how with the wrong motivation with God's gifts, our heart can turn in the wrong way and we can use the very gifts God has given us in a wrong way. Let me use a modern example, okay? I think people would all agree that singing, a great voice is a gift of God, okay? I think we would probably all agree. Musical ability, it's hard work, and yet there's a gift. I know that because I've worked at music. I know how to play music, but then I've been with people who had that gift. And for them, it is like, it's easy breezy, it seems. When it's hard work for one, it's just a blessing that flows, and they can do amazing things. You're like, yep, you have a gift, and that gift is a blessing. I just want to throw a few names out there because I think I could hit some generations. I might miss some generations, but think of Elvis Presley, okay? Think of Whitney Houston, okay? Let me hit a little younger. Justin Timberlake. How young am I going here? I don't know. They all grew up in the church. They all grew up singing God's gospels. You know, Justin Timberlake, his dad was a choir director. He grew up singing for the Lord and as a young person. Elvis Presley was said to give his life to Jesus at 9 years old, singing gospel. Whitney Houston, in the choir, singing gospel. There's others. There's others out there. A great gift was given to them. And they did know the Lord at some point in their life. They did know God. And Elvis himself was quoted as saying that his gift, his voice was a gift from God. He gave God the credit. And he even sang gospel songs. And I understand he had a gospel album. But what did that fame and fortune and the glory of his stature do to him? You can look at Elvis's life. We can look at Whitney's life. I mean, they died in their 40s with problems with drugs and alcohol and just issues, that all kinds of personal problems. They were never meant to carry that glory. They used their gift. And yes, they kind of gave God a little bit. But they were carrying the glory. It was their glory. It was their stage. It was their fame, their fortune, and it undid them. They were never, human beings are never meant to carry the glory that is supposed to be given to God. It ruins us. We can't handle it. People are not supposed to bow down and worship us. They're not supposed to. And the whole diva thing of our culture today, that's worship. That's idol worship. So I'm sorry if you're a Taylor Swift fan. That is idol worship. If you're screaming and lose yourself and you can't help who knows? I mean, it's just, I don't quite understand it. But it was the Beatles in the 50s and 60s. It was Elvis. It's just changed generations. But it's still the same. It's still the same. Men are not supposed to carry, mankind is not supposed to carry glory. And I wonder how life would have been if people like Elvis and Whitney and others had really given their gift for God. I don't think God cares if they were well known or famous, but they didn't. They didn't give the glory to God, and it really undid them. We're never meant to carry that. So the motivation of the heart is huge. God's gifts are good, whether it's your voice, whether it's your ability to write, maybe it's your teaching ability, maybe it's your administrative leadership ability, maybe it's whatever gift that God has given you, it's good. It's very good. But give Him glory. Give Him glory. Stay humble, right? Because this is where we stay humble. I mean, hospitality. Come on, you could be incredibly gifted in hospitality. You could become Martha Stewart, right? But are you giving God glory? Are you giving God honor? We have to give God. And I say that because I feel like we could all see examples in each arena of life where there are people who have given God the glory and they're very successful, they're very blessed. And we see other people who don't give God glory and they seem to also be successful, but there's something greatly missing. When we don't say, this God, this gift is from God, and I give this to God, even to serve Him and to honor Him and to give Him glory. So the motivation of our heart matters when we receive the very gifts of God, and we say, God, I see that these gifts are from You, and I want to develop these gifts so they have a purpose. They have a purpose beyond me. See, that's what the purposes of God's gift, they have to have a purpose beyond me. They will bless me. Right? If you have ability, that you have this entrepreneur gift, you have this ability just to make money, like some people do. They have a financial ability. But the Bible says that these people are called to be givers and kingdom financers. And again, it's not just about extreme wealth. And we see examples of that, like people like Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby, we know that. Well, you may not know who the owner is, but these owners have given away millions, the Green family. Millions and millions and millions under the direction that God has given them. We may not know their name, but they've done a lot. And I say that because I know the example of how they came with Oral Roberts University, a Christian university in Tulsa, Oklahoma, how that university was in financial debt and had problems and issues and mismanagement and leadership. And they came alongside them at the direction of the Lord saying, we want to help you come out of financial mismanagement and leadership issues and help direct this school in a very healthy way. And they did that. They partnered together and they brought the school out of debt. Of course, that was millions given, but also it was also redirecting how they were leading the school and managing the finances. And they brought something very healthy. They brought their gift. They brought their gift and a following after God and say, God, we give you this gift. It's yours that You gave us, and we want to serve in a way that You're calling us to serve. So we know that God has given us gifts. In our usage, in our development of them, we're grateful to God. We give to God thanks, and we say, Lord, I want to have a purpose that's greater than me to serve for Your name. It's a mindset, it's an attitude, it's our motivation. So we have been given gifts to develop, and we are to use them. Now, there are gifts that we have and we have used. And this is my final example. There are gifts that we have used them, maybe many times. But we somehow, over time, have let them go dormant. Maybe there was a time that we're using a lot, but then over time, for whatever reason, we let them go dormant. And the gift that we have is hibernating, and it needs to be awakened because it's still there. Believe me, it may be on the shelf gathering dust, but it is still there. God, the Bible says, God's gifts are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. Once he gives them, they're yours. He gives them, right? He doesn't take them back. But they need to be awakened. There's an example I would like to use, and maybe you get to see this movie. It's worth watching. But Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, famous poet of the Civil War era, great writer, Christian, also known for some of his writings. Some of his famous writings actually dealt with the Civil War. And God used his pen to write against the institution of slavery and was read widely and was one of those writers in that time that was really strengthening the cause against slavery and building more and more people's attention to the evils of slavery. He was one of those writers in that era. And he influenced many minds. So, famous writer, God has given him a gift. He was a Christian believer, and he allowed God to use him. But he came to a time in his life, in the middle of his fame, where he lost his wife to an accidental fire. And he couldn't save her. He tried to. He tried, and he was burned himself. But she dies in this accidental fire, and his life fell apart. Everything that seemed to be so wonderful and so beautiful in his life, all of a sudden, it seemed like his life was ripped apart. He fell into deep depression and became very isolated. And even during this time of isolation and depression, he stopped writing. He didn't write anything. He couldn't find himself even coming to the point of writing. And what made matters worse was while the Civil War is going on, his oldest son goes off to war and gets shot, and they think he's dead. But they run to him where he's getting treatment, and they found out that the first account of his death was not true. He was almost paralyzed, but he survived. And so there's a point in time here that on Christmas Day that his son is back home recovering from his wounds. And it's on Christmas Day that he hears the church bells ringing. And you may have seen this movie, because this movie covers all of this. It says, on Christmas Day, he hears the church bells ringing. And this sparked hope in his heart once again, where he had lost all hope. Because at this point, he was even questioning God. His faith was becoming frail to how can there be so much war and conflict and death and terrible things happening. But the bells rang, and it sparked hope in his heart once again. He wrote the first work he had written in many years since tragedy took place. And this was a work, a very hopeful message, as he wrote the hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Let me just read two stanzas. It says this, he says, and in despair I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. So in that writing of that song, that dormant gift came alive. And he started living again. It's amazing how even using your gift will bring you joy and will bring you life. It will give you purpose for even God working in you. So do you have a dormant gift that needs to come alive? Has terrible events in your life caused you to put away some gifts that God wants to use in you and through you? I think we have to answer this thing, because one thing I've just felt, going into 2025, I believe we've got to revisit the gifts of God. What has God given you? Do not take them for granted. Revisit the very good things that God has placed in your life. The blessings he has put, the gifts that are there. There's a blessing he wants to bring in you and through you by the giving and the working of your gifts, as he wants to develop that for his glory and your joy. Because it is your joy to operate in the Spirit of God, doing the works of God, operating in the gifts of God. So that is what I challenge. 2025, as it comes, think about, what has God given me to do in this coming year? How am I to use my gifts? What have I neglected? And it's time to bring back into the forefront of my thinking and even operating in. There's something that God wants you to do in 2025, and that's each one of you. I can speak confidently. It's each one of us. There's lives that God wants you to touch. And may it be an incredible blessing to the one who receives your gift and to you, to bring you greater joy in your life.